on 1116 SEN. Crunch Time. Voted 4 times most outstanding radio show for Ringwood Mazda. When it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal.
Hawthorn are going to win. It's a matter of by how much. It's going to be 10 points. He misses the shot. So the night started off seeming as if football was almost a side issue. The game found a way to seem relevant. At the end, we're reminded of the tragedy of the day. No song and the players embracing out there.
As a solemn bunch, they walk together to the centre circle. 44 players from the Hawthorn and Collingwood football clubs.
And the coaches in arms as well. Isn't this fantastic?
Yep.
This is quite a wonderful gesture from Nathan Buckley and Alistair Clarkson. The moment hostilities ceased, they got together and the teams arm in arm.
And I mean, it's not the people to know, but the people who've left the ground, this is really quite something to see, isn't it?
Something we've never seen before.
Never, ever.
So all the players...
It goes Collingwood, Hawthorn, Collingwood, Hawthorn, all the way around.
And now Alistair Clarkson just talking and... They're going to have some side. Heads about. So great respect, Shane.
I think the significance of that gesture was to say that it doesn't matter who you follow, who you play for. We're all people, human, in our own right. And when we lose someone before their time, that we need to acknowledge that. One thing that does happen in this industry is you get picked apart for your. Your ability to apply your trade, but yeah, we're flesh and blood. You know, we bleed, we hurt, we laugh, we cry, and we try and look after each other as much as we can. And only people in footy clubs can really understand what that feels like.
But we just said to them, at the end of the game, win, lose or draw, let's get together and try and show that even despite the fact that we've been fierce warriors playing against each other for the previous 2.5 hours or 3 hours, that. We come together as one, acknowledge Phil, you know, show the footy world that we're going to mourn together and support the family and the Adelaide Footy Club as best we possibly can through this really, really tough next few days.
A moving, heartfelt tribute from the players and coaches helps us in a small way deal with the tragic death of Phil Walsh, which overwhelmed every element of Friday night football. Of course, there were still 4 points on the line last night and the Hawks got home just. We'll hear from Cyril Rioli, chat to Travis Farco as we talk about how the Pies and Hawks are placed.
But today, we need to focus on the player who is on the front page of the paper and who needs the support of our industry. His welfare is our major concern today.
From a club point of view and players' point of view, we think it's appropriate that he doesn't play this weekend.
Our policy was right 10 years ago, but I'm not sure that he's going forward. And we've been reviewing it for many weeks, and we'll have a new policy in place for the start of the off-season this year.
He loves the game, he loves the club, he loves his teammates, and he fell hard after he did his knee. And this is a mechanism to get him back on track mentally and physically, and he'll come back refreshed and ready to go.
There's still a few more tests that they need to do on the skin around the lip. We'll probably know those results mid to late. Next week.
Have you got room in the cap for a player like Patrick Dangerfield in 2016 and beyond?
We've got room in the cap.
It wasn't about people, it was just about process and the requirements of the job. So I understand your curiosity, but I find it distasteful that you would think it'd be about me.
It was already a troubled week in the week of football, and we'll discuss all those issues on and off the field in the Saturday Crunch. And in the spotlight, we'll play some snakes and ladders. Just who have been the risers and sliders in 2015. It's another big edition of Crunch Time with thanks to Ringwood Mazda. When it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal. Hope you feel it the way I feel it. Hope you feel it the way I feel it too. It's been hard to know how to feel, quite frankly, this weekend in footy. Sadness, of course, has overwhelmed all of us as we try to make sense of what has taken place in the last 36 hours in Adelaide. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Crunch Time. With thanks to Ringwood Mazda, when it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal. The Hawks got home last night, but of far more significance was the tribute paid to Phil Walsh, and it certainly was, as I mentioned, heartfelt and meaningful after the game. And in some ways, I don't know how it softens it in some ways or what the right word is to our team here, but... everyone's dealing it within their own way. And the players last night really felt it. We spoke to Taylor Adams after the game last night. We'll replay some of that later. And it was great to hear the insights from a playing point of view and also the tributes paid by the coach. Let's welcome the team. David King's with us on a Saturday. Kingy, welcome, mate.
Hello, how are you, boys? Great to be here. Great to be back at the G. We always love just sitting here getting ready for footy.
Yep, we do. It's a different feel as it was last night here at the ground. Mark Robinson, Robbo, you wrote one of the great articles of the year with Phil Walsh, which we did a whole segment on probably 2 months ago on this program, going through what you'd discovered about him and what you'd learned in meeting him and some of the strange habits he had and the influence he was having on the coach. So that was probably one of the first things. I mean, I've met him as well and got a few little stories, but that was one of the first things I thought of soon after hearing the death. Just, you'd helped us get to know him a little bit.
Yeah, and he allowed us to do that. Thanks for saying that, Hutto. And he spoke about his son, which, not profound's the word, it's quite scary and it's quite sad that he allowed the world to know that he had a disconnect with his son for 10 years, that he was trying to get it back. And when the son was charged with murdering his father, I was really moved. I cried yesterday morning. And then the newspaper wanted me to write something about that. And I went through the tape. I found the interview was still on the dictaphone, and I found stuff, new stuff, more stuff, and it was really weird listening to him, because I loved him and I loved what he gave to football. So yeah, it was a really emotional day for footy, and of course the thoughts go out for his mum and his sister who's flying home from America, and to all the other family members. But last night it just felt good to be part of football, what they did.
Yeah.
It really did.
Makes you proud, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was a really good day for football support yesterday.
Mm. Nick Maxwell, who spent a day with Phil Walsh in Adelaide, you can tell us all about that. Durham's gone north to Darwin, as Durham usually does it this weekend. normally tacks on a trip to Bali, but he's had a few issues on the home front with his real estate dealings, Durham. So it's just disappointingly for Durham, it's just a hit and run in Darwin. But Maxie, great to have you with us. But it's really sad. We were together when we got the news on Friday morning in Sydney after doing the game Thursday, and it was just... Didn't know what to say.
Yeah, it was just instant shock. And as you said, I was lucky enough to spend a day. Phil Walsh had a relationship with Frank Panisi and Craig Bellamy from the Storm, going back a few years now. And he came across and brought across Van Berlo, Sloan and Walker in the pre-season in January. And I basically had to take him around for the day and show him, I guess, all the training sessions that Storm were doing. And we organised some meetings with the leadership group there. And the thing that really blew me away straight away was the admiration and respect that those three players had for him, the way they spoke about him. And this is in January. So it's not like he's had years to build that up and get to that level. It was just instant to that point. And the way they spoke about him, just straight away, I thought, wow, this guy must be a pretty special bloke.
But what did you detect from him?
Right at the start, he was a bit standoffish. I think he still looked at me like I was the enemy. And then, I guess, as we started chatting, he realised that I guess I was there for the right reasons and I wasn't there to steal his secrets or anything like that. But he pretty quickly started to warm to me and started to ask a lot of questions. And you just see he was there because he wanted to get better and he wanted his team to be better and he wanted his leaders to be better.
He come into fight. We catch up with the coaches at the start of every year, as many as we can. You know, John Longmire's always great. Ross Lyon's brilliant. And Adelaide rang, and this never happens, and said, look, Phil wants to come and sit down with you guys and just discuss his apprehensions with the media. Mm. And we thought, this is a bit strange, you know. This is a senior coach of an AFL club. What are they talking about? Anyway, he found his way there. I can't remember who was exactly. Jason Dunstall was definitely in the meeting, myself and four or five other guys from a production point of view. And he started by saying, look, I'm worried that I'm going to make some errors this year and I'm going to sort of turn some people off me through what I say at press conferences. I'm worried about how I'll come across because I can just be just sheer football, nothing else. And I thought, I've never heard anyone say this. And then we started talking to him about, you know, what we were asking and what Fox were wanting throughout the course of the year. You know, can we get in the coach's box? Can we get access to some of your meetings? All those sorts of things. And he was reluctant to sort of tick off on all of that.
And then you started talking football with him, and bang, he just dropped into a zone.
Mm.
And he was just using phrases we'd never heard of and, you know, new footy lingo. I thought, this guy is different. He's going to be brilliant. Cool. And from the minute you heard him talk there, we left that meeting and thought, you know what? He'll have no problems in the media. This guy will actually be a sensation.
Yeah.
And he hasn't let him. He never let himself down there. Every time he spoke, they educated us. He gave us catchphrases. He gave us...
Which we love.
New words. And
which we love.
He was quite the opposite of what he thought he was going to be. And he got to the point where he loved it.
He was brilliant. I've written about this morning, Hudson. I don't know if you had time to read it or not, but he wanted to show me. He took me through the club, and at the end he got his iPad out. He's going, right, we film all the sessions, all meetings are filmed. They all go onto this iPad, and all the coaches review them. And he goes, here, I'll show you something, but don't you tell anyone, right? He said, don't. And he said,
you've got a bad history.
Don't say to a journalist, don't tell anyone.
I've got a secret.
He said, but I'll watch it. Watch this. And Maxie, for a guy who doesn't go into player coach meetings, it was unbelievably great to be reminded how football is. And it wasn't a strategy meeting. It was, let's have a talk. He sat down on a chair, and they were all around him, and he was swearing, and it was
just about life or what
life and footy, and he's brought up the Civil War. He was a Civil War freak, and I said to him at one stage, do you watch movies? I said, do you have time in your life to watch a movie? He goes, no, I don't even watch TV. And I said, where do you get your news from? He goes, online and Twitter. And he goes, I used to be into politics. I used to really like Keating and Howard. I thought they were really good people, but I think this country's in a lot of trouble, so I don't follow politics. So I couldn't get that in. And I said, when's the last time you watched a movie? He goes, West Leederville. I said, where the hell's that? He goes, Perth, when we're in West Coast Eagles. I said, oh, what was it about? He goes, oh, it was a Civil War movie on Abraham Lincoln. And he brings the Civil War a lot into his pre-match and talks to the players about what happens in war, and it's in the Civil War. He was a freak of a man. It was all on the video, and it was one of the greatest 15 minutes I've had in my job, listening to a coach, Hutto, talk like we were still playing and we had a coach. It wasn't rah-rah. It was, we're going into battle against them, and let's talk about how we're mentally prepared, rather than, no strategy. They've already done the strategy. And he was fascinating to listen to.
Intensity is the word that gets used a lot to describe him. And I had to do, we've done these interviews pre-match on TV. Maxi, you've done them as well. Generally, if it's a recorded one, it's, about 90 seconds. You say, the producer will say, we want 90 seconds. With a senior coach, you think, well, I only need two, probably three questions because they waffle. So I'd just come off the plane from Perth, and I wasn't...
Morning to all our coaches listening out there.
Good waffle, but covering the time is not... Covering the time is not an issue, is my point. Yes. I just come off the plane from Perth, so my mind wasn't particularly clear. On the lift on the way down, thinking, I'll ask him about this, ask him about that. So I had three questions in my head, what I'm going to ask him. Well, after 15 seconds, I'd asked him three questions. And he'd answered them all, but just in 4-second grabs. And he is staring at me, and I'm going, well,
that's right.
Etihad Stadium. How do you play at Etihad Stadium? That was all I could think of. It came in my head. Anyway, I recovered, got through the interview, but his eyes did not leave. He was glaring at me, and I've meant to do this fancy throwback, and all I said, over to you, Moons, instead. And he's still looking at me, and the camera's still on me. And I've said, thanks, Phil. Walk away. I went to their media man, and... He straight away apologised, Ian Shuttleworth, he apologised to him. He said, look, Phil's still learning his way. I'm just teaching him one thing at a time. And this week it was to keep eye contact with the journalist.
I remember that. It was hilarious because you were that flustered.
I was.
You actually couldn't get your words out. I've never heard you flustered like that. I've never heard you rattled.
It could be intimidating. It could be.
Not once you talk footy.
Not
as soon as you talked about...
If he knew that you loved footy, he would talk to you.
We at this meeting, we said, look, in the NFL, the media catch up with the coaches and the gun players on the media day. Like, it's the Thursday before. And they sit down, they talk about what they're trying to do. Now, you can't use any of that information. It's all in-house until the game starts. Well, this is what Ross Lyon's trying to do. Boom, boom, boom. Not quite working yet, but
you know, this is what they're trying to say. You, in actual fact, say they are aware of a problem and they've got a mechanism in place. So you actually sell the club quite positively. And we're trying to do that via Fox with the coaches this year. And Phil said, love it. Love it. Fantastic. So the first couple of games of the year, he's nearly beating us to this meeting because he wants to talk footy and say, this is what we're doing today with the Collingwood game. We're going to press right up the ground. We're a pressing team. We're going to have all our players inside 70 metres. But if Cloak goes to full forward, we'll hold one or two back. So it's all about where Cloak is. So if you want to talk about our press, it's all in reference to those last two targets. Now, for us, that is fantastic information because we can see that his defensive mechanism can be pulled apart by what the opposition do. So for us, it was great knowledge. But then he wanted to talk. We wanted to meet him for 5 minutes. We were there for about 15.
Yeah.
But it was fantastic. And it's such a loss. It's really such a loss.
It is. And it's
hard to comprehend.
And we're talking about loss to football, which doesn't even compare to the rest of life.
No, it doesn't.
This is our jobs.
That's all we know.
This is our jobs, and this is how we know Phil Walsh. And he is a loss because he was compulsory listening and watching. Like if
he was getting more and more comfortable, you know, the Van Gogh stuff last week.
The Van Gogh stuff wasn't his best work, let's be honest. Come on.
I thought it was pretty good.
His man conversations is unbeatable.
Yeah.
It's the best of the
year. Man conversations.
That's great. I had a man conversation with Patrick, yeah.
Yeah, they're good. They're good.
Can we just play a bit of stuff from last night? Because the coaches were fantastic in their conversation about it. Let's start with Al Clarkson talking about Phil Walsh.
You just feel for, obviously, Walshy's family, but the Adelaide Footy Club and the wider footy community, this is unprecedented. You know, just no, you don't even prepare for this in crisis management planning. You know, it's really tough for the whole industry. You know, really tough for the AFL to make decisions on the fly. You know, so raw and emotional. Just having to deal with what had happened in the first instance, and then try to deal with what was going to happen for the competition, you know, and because of his involvement in the game, everyone had a connection to him in some sort of strange type of way right through the industry, and that's what's so tough. You know, some of my closest people in footy have had an enormous connection with Phil Walsh. I did for a couple of years, but nowhere near as deep as guys like Mark Williams and, you know, Tank Morris and, you know, Andrew Russell and, you know, it's just a terrible, terrible time. Oh, Bucks and I got together at the start of the game and said, you know, with Pendles and Hodgie, and we didn't really want to tell all the other players and have them thinking about it, but it was just, you know, Bucks and I, obviously, we haven't got an active involvement in the game in a sense in terms of game day. And Hodgie and Pendles are both really, really experienced players. They're captains of their clubs. Felt like it wasn't going to affect their performance, but we just said to them, at the end of the game, win, lose or draw, let's get together and try and show that even despite the fact that we'd been fierce warriors playing against each other for the previous 2.5 hours or 3 hours, that we'd come together as one, acknowledge Phil, but you know, show the footy world that we're gonna mourn together and support the family and the Adelaide Footy Club as best we possibly can through this really, really tough next few days. It's going to be really tough for the Adelaide players in particular. Because even we as a group of players, you know, at lunchtime today, we didn't know whether we were going to be playing. You know, one of the options being discussed by the AFL was whether we'd postpone or cancel the round altogether. So, you know, together with the roughy stuff that our players had to deal with throughout the course of the week, you know, to get a win in those sort of circumstances, we're enormously proud of our boys and the way they handled the week. We really wanted to make sure that it was Hawthorn Collingwood in the circle to have that camaraderie and genuine togetherness of the two clubs. You know, the two of the biggest clubs in the competition. The only game played since the terrible incident this morning. We were the ones that were going to be the spectacle where the whole footy community could see that we're going to unite as one and try and support the Walsh family and the Adelaide Footy Club in very, very trying circumstances. Yeah, the footy industry, as we saw, you know, when Matty Riewoldt passed away and how the footy community comes together, and you know, when Bales passed away last year, the footy community came together as one. But just so sad that the Adelaide Footy Club have had to deal with this, you know, twice in the last 18 months, and two really, really great mates are somewhere up there together now.
Alistair Clarkson last night. Just thought the way that the coaches handled themselves was magnificent last night. As we said,
best ambassadors in the game, Robbo, aren't they? They're the two that probably separate themselves in terms of when they speak, what they tell you, and what they do for the game is unbelievable.
It's ridiculous to say this because I'm a bit older than Clarkson, but and Bucks. What's Bucks? 42.
You got him covered as well.
Just. I was really proud of Clarkson and Buckley last night.
Yeah.
I know this sounds ridiculous. I wanted to send them both a text message and say thanks on behalf of the footy media or on behalf of the footy world to say thanks for that. You made everyone feel. Not great's not the word. You brought the football world together. You made everyone inclusive.
And everyone knew terrific. Going there, like going to the game, you're like, how's this going to play out? Like, how are people going to take it when there's no banners, there's no theme songs? Like, the players going to go, how emotional are they going to be? What's going to happen? And yeah. I think everyone went there with this doubt, and then they left, went, geez, they beat the hell out of each other
for
120 minutes.
Wonderful.
It was a great game. But then came together and did what they did at the end, and that's going to be a lasting image in the history of AFL football.
I reckon every club's going to do it, aren't they? Yeah. I mean, it's going to sound ridiculous. There's a corporate game going on out here before the start. All the corporates.
Some of the worst football I've ever seen being played.
I wouldn't like to call it and be a special comments man today on the corporate game, but it's going to happen. That's now going to be...
It's good.
It was beautiful. The AFL would be wrapped.
Yep.
Just the response yesterday by everyone, the clubs... And for the two powerhouse coaches and powerhouse clubs, Hawthorn and Collingwood, you know, I had people tweeting me going home from the game just saying it was their best moment they've ever had at the football.
The only small thing is I wish I had known it was coming. I wish they had known there was something coming post-game. Didn't have to know what it was. I think a lot of people left
knowing
there was something coming.
It's probably hard to convey that.
It is hard.
The players didn't know.
So many people said, we would have stayed if we had known. That's the only small one. Every game from here on in the round, everyone will stay at the end there.
Yeah, correct.
And so maybe that's what happens first night.
Right now in the corporate there. Actually, I think they're singing the song.
It's fantastic.
But to see Pendlebury, Hodge with his arm around Pendlebury.
That's the same.
The photos on the back part, the photos everywhere. You got Hodge around
Varko.
Pendlebury around Cyril.
Varko.
You got Varko around Poppy. It was just a beautiful moment. And the pity, you know, it's a pity it had to happen on a really, 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 really sad day. But footy was great again at times. I know everyone says that, Hutto. In times of tragedy, football clubs are great. But it proves it time and again.
Yeah, it was real last time. Let's listen to Taylor Adams. We spoke to him after the game, and he was all class through the whole interview, but we then asked him about Phil Walsh.
It was obviously a really strange day. Sad. That's probably the main feeling we had, and sort of puts life and football into perspective. And, you know, we were privileged to run out tonight and... you know, do what we love, and a man sort of lost his life way too early, which, you know, he's been involved in AFL football for 32 years now, and, you know, he's met and helped a lot of people along the way, and the words that have come through today that I've heard on social media and from, you know, guys inside the club that have had a fair bit to do with him were just that he's such a fantastic man and a fantastic character and a great teacher, so obviously really sad, and, you know... It was bloody hard going out today, and I'm glad that the Adelaide boys don't have to play Sunday because I can only imagine what they're going through.
So that was Taylor Adams after the game, and
it was good to hear
how heartfelt he was about the effect that it had on the players. Actually, Luke Beveridge was our guest last night in the coach's box, and he was talking about how hard it would be for the players. And
he made an interesting point about grieving, and I don't know if there's an expert out there on grieving, but he was concerned whether the Hawthorn and Collingwood players had dealt with it, discussed it before they got to the ground, because once you get to the ground, you're into sort of, you're into play mode, right? Yeah. And he said, we gathered the players this morning and spoke to them, and I think it was really important, because you can only talk about how you felt. I don't know how you felt, Hutto. I don't know how you felt, Kingy, Maxi, you know, and I know how I felt. Everyone, millions, how did they feel? So you got to look at the players, and I actually thought, nah, the Hawthorne Collingwood players will be fine. They'll get there, they'll strip, they'll talk, and they'll run out and play. To hear Taylor Adams after the game talk on SEN, again, made me really proud. But I thought to myself, young fellow, you spoke so brilliantly. It was amazing how he spoke last night.
Well, it wasn't the same day in terms of it happening on the same day, but as closer, I guess, comparison you can make is to when the boys lost Johnny McCarthy a few years back.
Yep.
And they had to play less than a week later against West Coast here.
And then the funeral had to play.
Yeah,
then
and the funeral
next
was
night.
Next week. And it was actually the next week. So it went up to Sydney in the prelim. So they managed to get themselves up for West Coast. Went to Sydney the next week, and Sydney pants us. And the boys said they just had no energy at all. They were done. And so it was actually the next week. So they got themselves up for that first one, just thinking of him and what they wanted to do and they wanted to get out there. And
you were
and
done the in. Next week.
And the
you
next
could
week,
tell 5 minutes into that game.
And that was what the players... I didn't play, but the players, they just said they were shot.
I've had so many people in the last 24 hours. We were on radio yesterday. We sort of got hit with it and didn't know how to handle it, really.
Did a great job.
It was amazing.
Did
it was
a fantastic job.
So confronting, to be honest. And sort of funny, because we got through to 9 o'clock. Because we had a role to play or a role to do. We didn't really know what we were doing. We were flying blind in a lot of ways. We're only fill-ins for a couple of weeks. We're having a good time. All of a sudden, bang, something so serious drops. You're not sure how to handle it. Got to 9 o'clock. And then all of a sudden, there's like a letdown. It got in the car and started to get emotional when you get in the car. Yeah. And you're thinking, I don't really know, Phil. But you feel like you go on the ride with everyone. And I had so many people in the last 24 hours say, footy for us is a release. We get through the week at work, and then the family go to the footy, or the mates go to the footy. And when something like this happens, it reminds them of everything. And what Clarkson and Buckley did last night has affected so many people. So many people ring me this morning saying they're spending the day with their kids today. They're doing something different with their kids because they've learned so much in the last 48 hours, 24 hours. And I think it's a great reminder for everyone. Footy's a great vehicle at getting messages across, and there's always a bigger gain. And so many fathers have been on Twitter and got in communication with. There's so much access these days where people can talk, but it's great for the community, the way that this has been handled from minute one.
There's always really, really terrible fallout, and we know that, but there's always wonderful fallout. I thought, I was really interested when Nathan Buckley said he couldn't wait to get to the ground last night and get around his boys.
Yeah.
Because you said a really good thing there, Kingy. We feel in some way we're all on the journey because we sort of know Phil Walsh we're part of the AFL industry, the media industry. And I felt a part of it because I spoke to him for 2 hours and I had a great rapport with him. And, g'day, Robbo, g'day, Walshy, how are you? And I was really, really sad. And when... Nathan Buckley spoke about getting here before the game, I thought to myself, you know, the coaches do have a really different life and a really different experience in footy because, this will reverberate a lot in a lot of areas, when players go to the club, that coach or that person is a father figure, mentor. So they play a huge role in their life.
Massive.
They mark up. They sit down and talk to them. They do really well. They praise them. But for all they want to do, they want to improve them. And so Bucks, I think, and the coaches, the other 17 coaches, there's only 18 AFL coaches in the competition. Bucks was so moved that he wanted to get to the boys, his boys, and say, hey, you all right?
Yep.
You all right? And it was a really, for a man of 42, he's a really mature person, Nathan Buckley.
He's also in the mould of Phil Walsh. I spoke to him several times in his first few years as coach and said, mate, what's your balance? where's your balance at? Because he is so footy focused, and he does watch every show, and he does read every bit of media that goes with it.
Yeah.
So I think he's learning also to find that balance.
Walsh asked Buckley, do you know that?
Yeah,
the first coach's meeting.
I read that with your article.
Yeah,
today.
First coach's meeting. He, I said to him, why Bucks? You're 55 years of age, and Bucks is 42. And he, and I didn't put it in the paper. He goes, no, I really like Bucks. You know, I really, really like him. I've watched him from afar. I know him a little bit. He goes, just talking to him. I thought, he'll know. I'll ask Bucks. Mm. And it says a lot about Phil Walsh.
Fitness, wasn't
personal
your fitness with other people.
Yeah, and he chose Bucks if you're going to, because you lose friends. This is what it's all about. As a coach, you lose contact. Clearly, Phil Walsh has lost contact with his son. Absolutely. And he spoke about that in March when I spoke to him. And the events yesterday would, you know. So Bucks said to Phil Walsh, you're going to lose friends. So what you got to do is you got to do your activities with your friends. If you're going to go for a run at 7 a.m. in the morning, ring some friends and say, come on, get out of bed. We'll go for a run. Because that's how
surfing.
We're going
to... Is that the surfing thing that...
You come
with
me.
Kids?
Come with me. It's the only time, because the rest of the time I'm devoting to my footy.
You were talking before about the relationship between the coach and the player. And all you try and do as a player, and the boys will agree with me, is you try and please them. You try and, okay, today I want you to do X, Y, or Z. Okay, I'm going to try and do that to the best of my ability. Right? That might be a Monday message or a game day message. Doesn't matter. And the end of the game comes and you're looking for feedback. How do you think I went? I know I got beaten here. And it's all that communication. Look, I tried to do this, and you're trying to please them. And these players right now have been trying to please Phil for 9 months, really. Yep. And everything they do, they're trying to say, there's a communication. Yep. There's an enormous attachment. You're just trying to be the best you can for them. Now that he's gone.
Oh, the sense of loss.
All I've been trying to do is please my main man. You know, he is like a father to them, whether you like it or not. And that's not speaking their parents down or anything like that. It's just a different relationship.
Yeah.
That cutting of the cord now would be so hard to handle. Everyone says, footy's got to go on, which it does in a way, but there won't be that connection now.
We have clubs who don't have a connection with their coaches, existing coaches. We saw the buy-in. We felt the buy-in from Crows. I mean, Mark Ricciuto was just spectacular yesterday with his ability to handle what happened. We had him on AFL 360. One stage I thought he was going to break down.
Yeah, I did too.
It was at the end of the day. He started early at Triple M in Adelaide. His job, club, dealt with it. I think we were the last interview he did. And I was looking at him. I thought, he's going to break down. I hope he doesn't, because if he does, I will. And he was talking matter-of-factly, this club needs a coach. I was thinking this morning, how does that coach then... It's difficult enough to come in and coach.
Yeah. What do you do,
To coach footy. How difficult is it then to be a life coach as well as a football coach in such a difficult circumstance? That person... I don't think that person exists, mate.
No. We need to take a break. We need to have this conversation. Let's take a short break. We also want to talk briefly about last night's game. Travis Varko is going to join us to do that. Dave Matthews from GWS is going to be with us as well in the box ahead of a big day for the Giants. Let's take a break. It's crunch time with thanks to Ringwood Mazda. When it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal.
G'day, it's the Ox here. Join Mark Allen and myself every Thursday night with Herald Sun footy chief writer Mark Robbo Robinson as we discuss all the big issues and go through all the teams, plus Cam Mooney's weekend focus. And that's all on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy.
Have you ever desired something so much you see and hear it everywhere? It's the universe telling you that now is the time for the biggest demonstrator event of the year. At Mercedes-Benz, with exceptional opportunities across the demonstrator range, including the sporty A-Class hatch, the ever-popular M-Class, and the award-winning C-Class. It's a sign that's impossible to ignore. Visit your authorised Mercedes-Benz dealer before July 31st. Excludes AMG while stocks last.
When the job needs doing, that's ace. When you need it fast, that's ace. When it's ace, it's built to last.
As a roofing plumber working on an estate, I can't afford to be sitting around waiting for gutters, fascias and downpipes to be delivered. That's why I've always used Ace Gutters. If I order a stocked item by 5 a.m. that morning, I know I'll get it the same day.
When it's ace, it's built to last.
Call 9586 4888 or log on to acegutters.com.au.
17 minutes to 12. This is Crunch Time with thanks to Ringwood Mazda. And let's head there now with our very own Nick DeVos. Morning, Nick.
Good morning, Hutto. Mate, well, I thought June was over. I thought it was going to get a little bit quiet, but it is still absolutely ramping up here at Ringwood Mazda. I've purchased another 30 near-new Mazda X corporate vehicles, manuals, autos, starting from $19.90 drive away. Now, they have got low Ks, heaps of colours, heaps to choose from. So make it into Ringwood Mazda today and pick yourself up a fantastic deal.
Sensational, Nick. Those deals keep on going even though the financial year has ended. Get into Ringwood Mazda because when it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal.